Hundreds of people are expected to turn out tomorrow night in Reading for a town hall meeting put on by the police chief. Chief Rob Paoletti plans to talk about the last 6 months of crime statistics recently released and let the community talk about strategies to bring those crime statistics down, perhaps. The meeting has already been moved to a bigger venue, the McLaughlin Auditorium at Sequoia Middle School in Reading, tomorrow night at 6. The group Reading Merchants Crime Watch is working to bring its members out in force to the meeting. Ed Rollman is one of the members of the group. He's the owner and GM of the Best Western on Hilltop Drive and C.R. Gibbs American Grill. Ed, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
You bet. Glad to be here.
So give us the broad strokes first. I mean, what is the general situation in crime in Reading? First perception and then statistics.
Well, I don't think Reading's any different than a lot of communities its size. You know, when you're the county seat, because of AB 109, which released a number of, you know, prisoners out of California prisons, you know, over the last few years, there's been a significant increase in property crime, especially. You know, major crimes we really don't have. I mean, we, you know, stuff like murders and robberies aren't an everyday occurrence, certainly, but, you know, property crimes are. And you know, I think basically the economy started the whole problem, and it's just sort of exaggerated itself over the last, you know, the last couple years. And, you know, we have everything from people walking into stores and walking out with TVs and, you know, people breaking into cars. The other night we had at the hotel, we had somebody try to cut a cable and take bikes off the back of a car. So, you know, it's little stuff like that that it's pretty annoying. We have a huge transient problem with, you know, people that come into Reading because the weather's, you know, fairly nice. It's hot, but, you know, they know they're not going to get rained on and stuff. So at certain times of year, we have a huge influx of transients, and that creates another problem. So,
you mentioned AB 109. I know that the folks on the Oregon side may be thinking, what's that? Well, that's prison realignment. So that's Assembly Bill 109 that essentially relieves the state prison overcrowding by keeping prisoners who are serving shorter terms in the county jails. And the issue you've run into with the Shasta County Jail is you're out of space, aren't you?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, they basically have to, by law, leave a certain number of spaces open to be able to handle any, you know, situation that arises. And, you know, we're at capacity all the time. Matter of fact, we have Shasta County's Most Wanted, where they put out six people that, you know, haven't shown up for their court dates and stuff, and they, you know, try to pick them up, and they really don't have any space to put them once they put them, you know, bring them to jail. So they have to let somebody else out that may have committed a crime that, you know, they really don't want to let them out for. But, you know, situation dictates that they do that. There's people that are housed in the Shasta County Jail that, you know, have sentences of 10 years or so. So, you know, it's become sort of a miniature prison, I think.
Well, and ultimately something for which county jails were not designed for. I mean, the idea is you get held in a jail while you're awaiting trial and not serve your actual sentence out there, but that has changed with AB 109.
That's correct. And, you know, there's all kinds of issues out there. You know, in California, you know, California was forced by federal law to release these prisoners, and I don't really think that either the state or the local communities were prepared for that, especially financially. You know, it's a big burden financially to go back and have to take care of these guys and, you know, just do the probation end of things. I mean, it's been a learning curve, and I don't know that the cycle hasn't been completed yet. Let's put it that way.
So, Ed, I understand that that the crime stats actually did come out last week. I mean, one of the reasons for the meeting tomorrow night with Police Chief Rob Paoletti is did a chance to talk about the crime stats, but everybody knows what they are now. They perhaps did not move as much as some people might have thought.
Well, you know, the chief's been pretty good. He's been here about 2.5 years. He came from Stockton. He's been pretty good about holding these town hall meetings on a quarterly basis and giving statistics. Because we have a group called the Reading Merchants Crime Watch Group, we get these statistics on a more regular basis. But, yeah, you know, like I said, major crimes are certainly down in our community. It's the property crimes that we're seeing an increase in, you know, just because there's so many people out there that you know, may not have jobs. You know, they've just been released into our community. They could be transients going through. You know, I think it looks worse than maybe it is for a community like Reading, just because we're sort of in an island up here in the northern part of the state. We're the biggest city north of Sacramento, and no other big cities really surround us. So, you know, it sticks out like a sore thumb when you have issues like that. You know, I think if you were in a larger metropolitan area in a city the size of Reading, you probably wouldn't wouldn't recognize it as much. But, you know, the Chiefs done a great job of keeping us abreast of, you know, what the statistics are. And he's promised at this town hall meeting that he's just going to give out a few statistics and then let the public sort of ask some questions so that he can hear what their real concerns are and maybe decide on a direction that we need to head in.
Ed Rollman, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange with Reading Merchants Crime Watch. We're talking about the crime situation in Reading. You can call in with your comments, questions, suggestions, and it doesn't just have to be restricted to Reading. If there are strategies that work to reduce crime in your town, give us a call, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Ed, give us the history lesson on the Reading Merchants Crime Watch and how you guys got together.
Well, we got together about, it'll be almost 3 years in October. Well, it will be 3 years in October. Basically, just started out on Hilltop and Churn Creek, which are two of the main roads just right off the freeway in Reading. And it quickly grew to the entire city. And basically what it is, it's an email set up where there's over 500 people on the email. So when something happens, we have it's called Crime Watch, it's ReadingCrimeWatch.com is what you go to, and you actually can put in the issue or situation and, you know, tell the group about something that happened either at your business, in your parking lot, on your way to work. So what we've tried to do is get most of the big box stores, loss prevention officers on it. We've got most of the hotels and restaurants in the community on it. And anytime there's a situation or an issue where they have to take action, call the police, remove somebody from their property, they just email that information out, and the guy down the road knows what's going on. We give descriptions. We, you know, just tell the general situation. And it's kind of the old phone tree philosophy back in the old days where, you know, you would call a business and that business would call another business, except with today's, with computers today, you get everything out all at once. So we've actually been very helpful in apprehending a lot of criminals just because it's real time. I mean, you put it out and the guy could be going down the street and somebody might see him, a cop might see him and, you know, be able to make an arrest. So we've actually had some success stories with the group as well.
It seems like in the nearly 3 years since you got started that the advances in smartphone technology have probably helped you a little further along the way. So people are probably snapping pictures of suspicious characters, that sort of thing, and you get to just move the stuff around that much faster. Is that a safe assumption?
Yes, it is. And, you know, they'll take pictures of license plates, pictures of people's cars. Yeah, I mean, it's just been, it actually works out really well. We've had calls from several other cities that have wanted to model their program after ours, and, you know, basically it was a real simple process. We just got a bunch of people together, and we happened to have a guy that was computer savvy and helped us set the everything up, and, you know, it makes all the difference in the world when you can communicate with your neighbors.
How's the interface with the police department? I mean, you're talking to each other, but, I mean, is there a regular connection into the police department as well?
Yeah, most of the guys, most of the officers that are in the areas of high crime are on that list. So if they're using their phone, their smartphone, they get it in real time as well. And then the chief himself and several of his administrative people are on it. So a lot of times we'll have an issue, and I'll get a call from one of the lieutenants or captains and say, hey, did anybody respond to that? If not, I'm going to call and make sure that somebody does. So, and then a lot of times, you know, a guy may be out on the beat, and if he picks it up right away, he can respond immediately to the situation.
I imagine there's a fair amount of frustration, though, because you're still faced with the situation where you've got limits to what you can put in the jail, or who you can put in the jail, to be more specific about this. So you can catch all the people in the world, but they're not all going to stay there.
Well, that's true. And, you know, I hear the revolving door theory all the time, you know, that, and that's the general comment from a lot of people. They'll come to me or they'll call me and they'll say, hey, you know, it's great that we have this organization and we can go out and arrest these people, but, you know, they just get out tomorrow. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, if you keep after these people and keep pushing them, keep pushing them, keep pushing them, maybe they'll leave, you know. And, you know, I hate to say it, but some other community can deal with the problems. You know, if they get tired of us pushing them around and running them off, then, you know, maybe they'll not do their business here. So,
is it a situation of people who are, I mean, are we generally talking a transient population responsible for a lot of these crimes?
Not Totally. No, I think that they're responsible for some. You know, this time of year you have tremors that come in because, you know, they grow pot in all the areas surrounding us. So, you know, you have a huge influx of those people. I'm sure that there's some good people and bad people in all areas. And I don't want to just say that all transients are bad because they're not. You know, some people are, you know, hitchhiking through town and, you know, a little different story. They're, you know, and they're not looking for trouble, but there is a population of them that are. And certainly there's a lot of people that, you know, because of AB 109, you know, they may live here and, you know, that's their business. There's not a big job market in Redding. So, you know, if you're let off in a community where there's not a lot of work, then what are you going to do? You're going to go back to taking things. And I think that's probably the situation that we're faced with.
All right, so Police Chief Rob Paoletti's meeting tomorrow night. These are quarterly meetings anyway. It seems like there's a greater sense of anticipation for this one. Am I wrong in making that assumption?
Well, actually, there's a group that gathered together to do a silent protest. And it actually came through a couple of, a lot of social media, some local news media have grabbed onto it, and basically, they just want to show up and stand up for some kind of change. Been a lot of groups that have been meeting with the chief and the city manager and talking about our issues. You know, sometimes I think we tend to come up with excuses why we can't do something. And the reality of it is if we don't do something, then we could have an even worse situation. So I think the citizens are just tired of having to deal with it and hearing about it and you know, it's time for us to show that we really care about our community. You know, Redding's a great community. It's always faced, over its history, it's always had a negative image pop up now and then. You know, Redding's just, it's Redding. You know, it's hot. It's, but it's a beautiful location. It's, you know, surrounded by mountains. And those of us that care about our community want to make sure that it continues to thrive. And, you know, I think that's really what it's all about is getting people out there saying, hey, it's time to put a stop to this, and we got to figure it out. So that's why I think you're going to see a larger group at this particular meeting.
Ed Rollman, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's with Redding Merchants Crime Watch, and you can join us as we talk about how communities rise in response to at least perceptions, if not, in fact, figures that indicate an increase in crime. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. And just to recap, you said major crimes are down, but property crimes are up?
That's true. That's true. Uh-huh. And I'm sure that'll be the statistic that Chief Paoletti will, give to the citizens at the meeting tomorrow night.
All right. And so the meeting has been moved. In fact, it was already going to be at City Hall, but now it's been moved to the auditorium, the McLaughlin Auditorium at Segoia Middle School, 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Obviously, was concerned about people fitting in the room in the first place. So is Redding Merchants Crime Watch just one of several groups trying to drum up support to come to the meeting?
Yeah, there's a huge number. I mean, basically, once this hit the social media, you know, young people, old people, you know, the Board of Realtors, the Shasta Builders Exchange, the Chamber of Commerce, all those groups have been just saying, hey, look, show up. Let's show our support. And, you know, I've heard a number that they might expect 1,000 people. I wouldn't be surprised if there was more.
All right, that many people potentially cramming into the middle school.
A lot of them probably in the parking lot. Yeah.
No doubt. There are some proposals out there, and does Chief Paoletti have any proposals that he's put before you or before the community to say, hey, this is a way I'd like to move? I know there's also something the mayor had talked about recently. There are several proposals, it sounds like, for addressing the crime issue.
Well, you know, there's been a talk of a tax increase, sales tax increase. There's been talk of, how do you take some of the money that's in the general fund and move it around so that you can use it for the police. The situation is just like any community. We don't have a lot of extra money, and, you know, bodies cost money. I think basically what we're going to have to do is a combination of things. There's been talk of a citizens patrol. There's been, you know, talk of... just a lot of different things. I think it's a combination of things. First of all, I think it's getting the community together and getting them to think in the same direction and then trying to move. There's been a lot of neighborhood watch programs that have come up. A guy by the name of Jason Schroeder's been really, really good about this thing called Stand Up Reading, and it's kind of an offtake of Neighborhood Watch, and Jason's been really vocal about how to get rid of some of the, you know, the problem characters in certain areas. So, it's just going to take time, and it's going to take the community coming together.
I'm going back to earlier in our conversation, we talked about how somebody tried to cut the cable and take some bicycles off a car at the place that you manage.
Uh-huh.
Was there some moment earlier, maybe around the time that the whole Reading Merchants Crime Watch got started, some incident that made you go, man, I have just had it. That is just like one straw too far.
Well, the actual story goes like this. It was, and people go, I didn't know that we had these in Reading, but we had a prostitute that was working Hilltop Drive, and there's hotels, all the way down Hilltop. And so the guy that operates the Red Line and I were talking one day, and we had the same girl that was soliciting to our customers. And when we found that out, we talked to Reading Police and decided how we were going to approach it. And it went on for several months. And then finally, by pushing this person, back and forth and arresting her and everything, we got her to either leave town or, she just doesn't do it anymore. But we solved the problem. And that's really how the Reading Merchants Crime Watch started. It was a group of about 12 of us in a room discussing those kinds of situations. And it came to fruition. It didn't take long for it to grow rapidly. Our second meeting was like 75 people. And we've had as many as 150 in a room at one time. Like I said, it's balanced out to where we have 500 people on this email list. And, it grows weekly. Everybody that hears about it wants to get on it. So, it just sort of evolved.
Are these some people who didn't even know each other before? I mean, the 500 people on the email list now, I mean, you got people who are acting like neighbors, who probably didn't have much contact with each other before this.
Certainly. Matter of fact, I got a call last week from a business over on Bocelli Lane, which is, several blocks from us. And the lady and gentleman both were on the phone same time with me. They had just heard about it. And we've had campaigns, anti-panhandling campaigns. We've had meetings pretty much quarterly. And they said, yeah, we didn't know anything about you. So people are learning, at their own pace. And I think what really dictates is when something happens at your business, you say something to Reading Police Department or to somebody else, and they'll go, hey, have you joined Reading Merchants Crime Watch? Do you know about them? And that's how that information gets out. We've all become pretty good friends because we've been able to get together and talk about issues that were common to us all.
Have you had a chance as a group yet to discuss some of these proposals like the Citizens Patrol or the additional sales tax to fund more police or any of that stuff?
We actually have not had a meeting since these things have come up. Our next meeting is scheduled tentatively for sometime in September. And we're hoping to get Brian Daly, our local assembly rep, at that meeting. And that's why we scheduled it for September, because he was available then. But no, we haven't had a chance to discuss that in detail. And I don't know that it's really it's only just kind of in its infancy. It hasn't really been proposed yet, and so it's going to take some time to get it to the point that it really would work for us as a community.
So, Ed Rollman, if you got to be the boss of everything tomorrow and got to pick an optimum outcome for this town hall meeting with the police chief, at which maybe 1,000 people will show up at Sequoia Middle School, what would you like to see happen?
Well, I'd like to see the pressure put on the areas that are really, areas that have high crime rates, which are the area of, Hilltop Drive, downtown. I'd like to really sort of focus on those areas and maybe do a combination and get some citizens out there that are trained to sort of, help and watch and report. And then have the police respond with kind of a strong arm of the law and tell these people that they're not really wanted in our community any longer and see if we can get them to move somewhere else or get them put into the big house, where they maybe learn a lesson.
When people get picked up for some of the minor crimes, and granted, I know you're not working within the police department, but is it often discovered that they have outstanding warrants for larger things?
Yes. Matter of fact, one of the statistics that the chief has given us is that for the 7,000 crimes that are committed, there's basically 1,100 people that are responsible for the majority of them. Those are the people that repeat offenders and have outstanding warrants and have had issues in the past. So,
Right. As you point out, though, I mean, one of the issues you have in a place like Reading is you're in a pretty convenient place, and it's a fairly nice place weather-wise, maybe not today specifically because it's going to be so hot. But I mean, this is something that gets talked about in places like Ashland and Medford and Roseburg and all the way up the I-5 corridor, Eugene included.
Yeah.
Where you got people showing up in town because, hey, this is a pretty good town.
Mm-hmm. Anytime you're on the I-5 corridor, if you're in an area where the weather's, you know, pretty moderate, then you're going to have this kind of situation.
All right. So where do you think things will go once this meeting is over? I mean, you have your own meeting with the Crime Watch group in September, but you think are there any plans for further meetings to break down further and get smaller groups to discuss what gets discussed tomorrow?
Most definitely. I actually have a meeting prior to the town hall meeting. I have a meeting with the chief and city manager. There's about 8 business people that are going to be discussing some issues in specific. So, you know, there's all sorts of those types of meetings that happen. I'm sure the city manager and chief are bombarded right now on their schedule with meetings with different people from the community, just because a lot of people are either concerned or angry, and you know, they're not going to let this drop. They're going to make sure that they're heard, and you know, I think it's time. It's definitely where we're heading. We're heading in a great the positive direction. So,
town hall meeting tomorrow night at 6 with Reading Police Chief Rob Paletti at the McLaughlin Auditorium at Sequoia Middle School. The folks from Reading Merchants Crime Watch, including Ed Rollman, will be there. Ed, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. Coming up in hour number 2, we'll compare educational systems in America and Asian countries.